Well, truly one of the most often used metaphors for life in literature and our culture and in history is the metaphor of a race. Why is that? Well, because it's so true. It rings true. It's multifaceted. It's got a lot of layers. And we just kind of go, yeah, you know, life's a lot like a race. Your life is a race and you want to run it well. Like we all talk about that and we feel that. Now we may disagree and we may have some discussion about what kind of race we're running in this life. Because truthfully, sometimes it feels like different things. Sometimes life feels like we're running this kind of race. Like we are just right in a sprint, you know, this is Usain Bolt. And was it 2009? Y'all remember this? I don't know if we have volume on that video, but we could get that up. And there he is running and sets the world record for the 100 meter dash, you know? And we're like, yeah, life sometimes feels like that kind of race that we're just sprinting from one thing to the next and we all kind of know what that's like. But we all actually agree that no, that's not quite it. Because we even have a saying about this. We say that life's not a sprint, it's a what? Yeah, life's a marathon. We're like, no. The metaphor of race that we're really talking about here is this is what life's like right here. This guy is the first human being to run a marathon, that's 26.2 miles, in under 2 hours, which is wild. Like he ran it in under 2 hours. His name is Eliud Kipchoge. And we would look at that and go, yeah, maybe that's probably a better metaphor for what this life is like. It's like a marathon and you gotta like run the distance and you gotta make it to the end. Now you may know this, but the Bible itself is also full of race metaphors as it relates to our life. But here's what's interesting. When you read the Bible and you read these metaphors, what you find is that when the scriptures talk about our life, it actually more points us to a third kind of race that our life is like. Not a sprint, not a marathon, but the scriptures talk about our life more like this right here. And there's the gun, Carter for Jamaica. 2012, for the US. Olympics. Here comes the first exchange. I mean, look how fast these dudes are running. I can't even imagine going that fast. Both of those passes weren't the best. Spiral. You have to think the U.S. has a little bit of a lead here, Tom. Gallon has done the job. Coming into the home stretch here. It's the third leg. Johan Blake for Jamaica. It's the U.S. and Jamaica right together. U.S. and Jamaica neck and neck. But uh-oh. Anchor leg is Usain Bolt. And there he goes. World record in the 4x100 right there. And that's what this series is about. That's what these next 3 weeks are going to be about. The truth that according to the Bible, the point of your life isn't just to run fast or to run far, though those are great. The point of your life is to run for those who are running behind you. To run for those who are living and running in your wake, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your community, your family, whoever. The point of your life isn't simply to run fast or to run far, it is to run for those who are coming behind you. It's not a race, it's not even a marathon. It's a lot more like a relay. And the scriptures are full of this idea. I mean, you kind of see it everywhere. King David said that one generation must tell of the deeds of the Lord to the next. You got to pass it on. Solomon said, a good man leaves a good inheritance for his children. That's a part of life. The apostle Paul said, you should live your life to build and use your life to build something that lasts beyond your life. Like that's what God intended you to do. Jesus himself said, you should live in such a way, let your light shine so that people see your life and they thank God for you, both now and when you are gone. And so that's what we're talking about for 3 weeks. We're gonna be talking about legacy. We'll define legacy as what you pass on that continues on even after you're gone. What continues on after you're gone. What you pass on that continues on after you're gone. We're gonna talk about the fact that you're not just running your race. You are actually carrying something for the next runner. And those next runners are already around you right now, and they're gonna only increase in number as you live your life. And it's legacy. So legacy is establish a couple of basic truths before we dive in, things that are universally true. I just wanna go ahead and say up front, two things are true that we can all agree on. And number one is this, that everyone has a legacy. I wanna establish that just from the beginning. Everybody has a legacy, whether you realize it or not, want to or not, intend to or not, whether you're even aware of it or not. You do. In fact, you are having a legacy. You are already a part of someone's story right now. You're already a part of someone's stories. And your legacy in their life. It's being written right now. So the question that we should be asking, and we're gonna be asking this series, is not, am I gonna leave a legacy? No, you are. The question is, what kind of legacy are you gonna leave? What kind of legacy are you leaving right now? So that's number one. Everybody leaves a legacy no matter who you are. But number two is also important, maybe even more emotional. And it's this, that everyone leaves a legacy and everyone wants it to be good. Oh my gosh, deeply. You want your legacy, the wake of your life, the impact to be good. I mean, I hope my legacy is good. I was good. I was great. Man, I hope that my marriage to my wife ends up being in sum total a lifelong blessing to her. I want the world for my kids. I hope my kids get the best of me. And I hope that somehow I'm able to give them the best of life or whatever I can manage to do. I hope my friends, right? And for that matter, my coworkers and neighbors and whoever else I live around, I hope they're grateful for our time together. And I hope their lives are better because of it. You know where we feel this? Where, oh man, I hope it's good. You know where you feel it? Funerals. You feel it at funerals. Because in the end of life, this is all that matters. It's all that matters to people. And you'll find yourself sitting there at a funeral listening to someone's life being described and something in you goes, oh man, I hope they talk about me that way. I hope my kids will talk about me that way. Or I hope my kids never talk about me that way when it's all said and done. Because you just feel, man, this is the only thing that I'm gonna care about when it's all said and done. Right here it is. This is ultimate. This is ultimate. And legacy is what we're talking about. It's a weighty and daunting subject to discuss. But here's the good news. You were created for it. You were created for it. God created you to live a life of consequence and blessing. And here's what's even more important. He wants to partner with you in it. God wants to partner with you in living a life of legacy, of wonderful, powerful, beautiful legacy. And for the next 3 weeks, we're gonna talk about how he is inviting us to partner with him in that. We're gonna spend all 3 weeks in the same book of the Bible. All three, we're gonna be looking at, and I'm gonna be teaching out of the letter in the New Testament called 2 Timothy. It's the second one that we have called Timothy. It's called 2 Timothy. So not only do I want you to follow along with me as we're teaching, you can open your physical Bible right now to 2 Timothy, or you can get on your phone and scroll to it. But also, I would love to invite you to read the whole letter with me. It's only 4 chapters. This is totally doable in a week. I would love for you to read 2 Timothy every week of the series. Just read the whole thing and dig into it yourself and see what God has to say to you and what he prompts. But I would love to read that together for the next 3 weeks. But let me tell you why we are going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, the letter that we know as 2 Timothy. Here's how it starts. It starts this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. So this letter is written by the Apostle Paul. Many of you may know, recognize that name, the Apostle Paul. He was a Jewish Pharisee, that's a religious leader, who encountered the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And as a result of that encounter, he converts and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he goes on to be the most by far influential Christian writer and missionary in all of history. So this is the Apostle Paul, and he's the one who wrote this letter. Now, what makes this letter special and what makes it unique, and I think especially poignant for us, helpful, is that this is the last letter we have from Paul. In fact, most people think this is the last letter that he wrote at all. Why? Because he's writing this letter from Rome as he is in prison. And he is very soon going to be executed. This is the end of Paul's life. And he knows it. He actually says in the letter, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." And so what's fascinating about this letter is that these are the last words of the Apostle Paul. And as you and I know, someone's last words tend to be their most important words. And so it's no surprise that all throughout this letter, Paul is analyzing and evaluating and talking about legacy. He's talking about legacy, his legacy. But what makes the letter even more important, and I think relevant and poignant for us, is not who it was written from, but who it was written to. The letter goes on, it says, to Timothy, to dear Timothy, my beloved son. So this letter is written to a specific person. It's written to Timothy, who was a young leader in the first century church. He was a young pastor in the very first church, and he is Paul's protege. This is Paul's protege that Paul is writing to. He started out as his mentee, but as you can see right here, he quickly and eventually became like his own child, like Paul loved him like a son, and that's what's going on in this letter. Paul is not only evaluating his legacy, but he is also trying to make sure that Timothy is set up to go live his, right? Like, Paul is finishing his race. He's run his race. And now with tears in his eyes, he's saying, Timothy, you go run yours. This is his last letter. Timothy, go run your race. Go run your race. It's powerful stuff. And it's words that I believe that God inspired and preserved for you and me, for our lives and for our legacies. And this is what we're gonna dig into this morning, chapter one. And what's interesting when you look at chapter one, right in the beginning, what's interesting is that Paul starts in a funny way, to me at least. What's interesting is that Paul starts talking about Timothy's future by bringing up his past. And it's funny, here's what he says. Literally, the next thing he says, I am reminded, hey, think back with me. Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first, long time ago, it lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it now lives in you also. He goes there, and it's kind of like, it's funny. It's just unusual. Why did he do that? Why does Paul start talking about Timothy's future by bringing up his past? It seems counterintuitive. And here's why. Ready? This is the whole point of today. Because legacy doesn't start with what you leave. Legacy doesn't start with what you leave. It might end there, for sure, but it doesn't start there. No, your legacy, it starts with what you received. That's where it starts. It starts with what you receive. Because before, you know this is true, before you ever handed anybody anything in this life, something was first handed to you, right? Like, for example, your parents handed something to you. You born and grew up. Your parents handed you something. They handed you values. They handed you a worldview. They handed you priorities. They handed you habits. They handed you a view of faith, marriage, health, life. They handed you something. Your upbringing handed you something. Where it was, who was there, what was important, what was normal, where you grew up and what you grew up around. Your circumstances up until this point have handed you something, right? Both the good ones and the bad ones. Middle school and high school handed you something, that's for sure, right? Your past relationships have handed you something along the way. You've already been handed something, and that is where Paul starts. That's his first point to Timothy. Hey, Timothy, it's a letter about legacy. And if we're gonna talk about legacy, before we can talk about the one that you leave, we gotta talk about the one that you receive. Can you put that slide up? Before we talk about the one that you leave, we gotta start with talking about the one that you received. Because your story so far has handed something to you. Every one of us, your story so far has handed something to you, and here's why that matters. Here's why that's a really big deal. Because what's passed to us has a tendency to be passed through us. What's been passed to us, it has a tendency to be passed through us, or at least to really powerfully shape what is passed through us. And Paul says this is where we gotta start if we're gonna talk about legacy. And it's the part of the relay race that is life that we're gonna focus on today. It's gonna be three parts. But this is the part of the relay race that is life that we're gonna focus on today, not this moment. Are you handing off? We'll get there. Not even this moment. Are you running? We're gonna focus on this one right here. When something was handed to you. Because this is the part of life that we're most tempted to ignore, that we're most tempted to sweep under the rug, that we're most tempted to discount. Why? Because it's in the past, because it's done, because sometimes it's even it's painful. And who's got the time and who's got the desire to go digging around in the past? And so a lot of us, we just kind of ignore it. But according to the Apostle Paul, we do so at our own peril. And to the peril of those who are running behind us. Why? Because what was passed to you has a tendency to be passed through you in life. And God says, the God who wants to partner with you in your legacy said, this is where I want to start. I want to start the conversation right here. What have you been handed? So that's what Paul does, and that's why he does it. He draws Timothy's attention to what he's been handed. And here it is. Let's just look at it again. He says, hey, I'm reminded. I want to look back. And I'm reminded, and this is what I'm reminded of. I'm reminded of your sincere faith because I know where it came from. Let's track it for a second. It first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then it lived in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now that it lives in you. In other words, Paul's like, hey, let me give you a recap of your story so far, Timothy. Your grandmother, she was a woman of faith. Your grandmother was a titan of faith. She's one of those women that people looked up to and wanted to be like, you know? Like she trusted Jesus. She persevered in obeying him and loving others the way that he, you know, teaches us to love. She was full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, people like that. They're like, oh man, how are you this way? You know, she knew God deeply and walked with Jesus intimately. And man, she had faith. But Timothy, as you know, the cool thing about your grandmother is that it didn't end there. She passed on her faith to Eunice, her daughter. And you've had a front row seat to your mom's faith your entire life. And it's awesome. That's the story that you've had so far. But Paul's like, hey, with my last letter to you, with my literal last words to you, what I want to make sure that you realize is that the faith that lived in them, it now lives in you. I see it in you. It's been passed down. Timothy, you have a gift of faith that God has given you. But it's the kind of gift that wasn't presented. It was passed down to you. And you know what's cool about this for me, what makes this letter extra special for me is that I have the same story. My grandmother also was a woman of great faith. She was a titan of faith. And y'all, her name was also Lois. I'm not kidding. My grandmother, Lois Pritchard, was a woman of faith. I mean, oh man, I just remember it. Like even being little, I remember her prayers. How she would pray. In fact, we used to say she had a direct line to Jesus because like her prayers worked. You got anybody in your family that way? They're like, her prayers work. Like, I don't know, they don't work. Mine don't work like that. But like when she prays, God's like, mm-hmm, you know? It felt like that with her. I remember her scripture memory. She knew the Bible, She could just bring scripture out, didn't need it. She could just quote it. It was incredible. And also more than anything, it was her trust. You know, they never had a lot, always lived a humble life, and they had a lot of hard times, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter what happened. She would say verbally so everybody could hear, the Lord's gonna take care of us. I just know the Lord's gonna take care of us. I'm not afraid. He's gonna take care of us. And she passed that faith on to my mom, Betty. And it had changed the story of our family in entirely. And just so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I wonder what that is for you. Like, what blessings have you received? What good things were handed down to you from your family or from whoever you grew up with or from your community or from your church or from your culture or from your backstory? Like, who loved you unconditionally? Who prayed for you? Who taught you responsibility and discipline? Who modeled for you how to live? Who told you who you were and that you were worth it? Who pointed in the direction that you should go? Who pointed you to Jesus? And aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful? I wonder what comes to mind when I ask that question. And here's the good news that I want you to hear this morning. Meant to inspire you, meant to galvanize you and me. And it's this. What was passed to you is meant to pass through you. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever's on your list, I need you to know, and I want you to know, God wants you to know what was passed to you. It was meant to pass through you. You're not supposed to sit on it. You're not supposed to sleep on it. You're not supposed to take it for granted. You're not supposed to neglect it or ignore it. And you're not even supposed to just enjoy it. No, God is inviting you to step into it and claim it so that one day you too can pass it on. Everybody say, step into it. God's inviting you to step into it. Claim it so that one day you too can pass it on. Because something has been handed down to you. Don't miss, and don't neglect the gift of God handed down to you. So one of the things I think God wants us to hear today. But of course, obviously, that is just one category of what we see when we look back at what was handed to us. Man, I wish it was all Loises and Eunices in all of our backstories, but we all know painfully that that is not the case. And in fact, I bet some of you are sitting there right now going like, yeah, man, that's like super neat for Timothy. Like, happy for him. Of course, in the Bible, he's got this perfectly, biblical legacy coming down from his family. Whoop-de-doo for him, And you might be asking yourself, but like, what if that's not me? Like, what if that's not my story? What if I wasn't handed something so noble? What if I wasn't handed anything worth emulating or passing on? Like, what if my family didn't pass on faith? What if my parents didn't model the way to go and show me the way to go? What if my upbringing isn't anything that I want my kids to experience? Are you kidding me? No way. Like, what if my circumstances left me with scars, wounds, and lies, some of which I'm still carrying with me for, to this day? Like, what if that's my story? What if I don't have all of this going on? And if that's you, I want you to know that you are not alone. You're not alone. In a lot of ways, it's all of us. And also, I think it was Timothy too. I don't want to read too much into the scripture, but let me just point out, when Paul is telling Timothy's story so far, he mentions his grandmother and he mentions his mother, but who does he not even mention at all? Yeah, his dad. There's no father in this story. And we don't know why. We don't know if it's because he died when he was young or if he's an absent father. Very likely, though, there could be tension between he was a Greek and his wife converts to Christianity, and that would have caused a lot of tension in the home. We don't know. But whatever the case, it seems apparent that Timothy did not inherit a perfect legacy. And that's great because neither did you and me. Neither did you. Maybe you received dysfunction. Maybe you were handed down addiction. Maybe you received anger, abuse, neglect. Maybe you were handed secrets. Maybe you were handed divorce and debt. Maybe what you received was bitterness, abandonment, rejection. Maybe you were handed generational pain. Maybe when you look back, you're like, man, what I got was a poor picture of God, or a poor picture of marriage, or a poor picture of health, or a poor picture of work, or a poor picture of me. I wonder what comes to mind for you when I ask that, when I say that. And I know it's personal and it's hard, but I'll tell you one of mine if you want to know. In my backstory, I was handed self-hatred. And not from my parents. My parents are awesome. Mom and Dad, love you. They're gonna watch this eventually. My parents were amazing. That's not where I got it. But I got into like middle school and early high school, and I started experiencing rejection and exclusion and people making fun of me. That painful realization, the gap between who you are and who you, think you're supposed to be. Kind of normal stuff for middle school, but in the middle of all that came this voice of like, you suck. This voice of like, you're no good. People don't like you. You suck. You're no good. People don't like you. And eventually that voice became my voice, right? Like, I suck. People don't like me. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. I don't like me. I don't like me. I'm not good enough. I suck. I don't like me. I don't like me. I hate me. I hate me. I'm not good enough. I hate me. I'm not good enough. I hate me. I want to hurt myself. I want to kill myself. I hate me. I hurt myself. And on and on and on. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that path really well. I would say that I was handed self-hatred by my enemy, by the enemy, Satan. That's the words that I would use. And it wreaked havoc in my life for a season. And the remnants of that, I carried on, into my life, into my marriage, into my parenting. It's something that I was handed. And that's why for many of us, when we talk about legacy, it's not just joy and gratitude. For a lot of us, it's also a little or maybe even a whole lot of fear. like, hey man, I'm kind of honestly worried about how what I was handed or how what I allowed to be handed to me is gonna impact my marriage one day or my kids and my parenting one day or all this other stuff that I care about that's downstream in my life. I'm actually kind of worried about it. And if that's you, if you identify with anything I just said or you've been in any kind of a similar boat, I do have some good news for you today. And I'm hoping you're gonna believe it, and it's this news. The legacy you receive doesn't have to be the legacy that you leave. The legacy you received, it does not have to be the legacy that you leave. And this is a lie I hope to dispel today, to like destroy today, a fear I hope to squash, a doubt I hope to dispel, that because of the grace and the power of Jesus who saves and redeems and can breathe new life even into dead things, the legacy you received, it does not have to be the legacy that you leave. You may not have received a good legacy, but you can leave a good legacy. You may not have been handed something healthy, but you can pass on something healthier. You may not have come from a godly legacy, but a godly legacy can come from you. Why? Because in the same way that God is inviting you to step into the things that have been handed to you that are from him, he is simultaneously inviting you to stand up to the things that you've been handed that are not. In Jesus' name. In the same way that he's saying, hey, step into, he is simultaneously inviting you to stand up to the things that you've been handed that are not. From him. And this is where the conversation about legacy starts, right here. This is where the conversation about legacy starts, because what's passed to us has a tendency to get passed through us, and we've all been passed both. All of us, we've all been passed both, good and bad, both blessings and cursings, both things that are from God and things that are not from God. We've all got our own version of Lois and Eunice that we need to step into so that it does pass through us. And we've all simultaneously got our own version of fatherlessness that we need to stand up to so that it does not. And the only problem is both of those are daunting. Oh, both of those just feel at times totally beyond us, beyond me at least. Wait, you mean step into the faith of my grandmother? I mean, are you kidding? I'm not her. I don't even know that I can. I'm not sure that's in me. Stand up to the wounds and the lies and the baggage of my past? I don't know if I can. It's not like I've been doing great so far sometimes. I don't know if I can. I don't know if it's in me. Daunting. And this is where Paul gives us the first invitation of legacy. It's gonna be three invitations this series, and this is the first invitation of legacy. He has something specific he wants to do with that. Something that I think could change everything. In fact, it has for me. I think it's something that will determine whether or not you and I actually end up having the legacy that we hope we have, or at least the one that God created us to have. And this is it right here. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Hey, you know, like when you start a fire and it's like little and you have to be like, everybody ever done that before? You have to like fan a flame into fire until it's a big bonfire. It's like there is a gift of God, something that God has gifted you and given you, or he's offering you for those who haven't yet received it, that you need to fan into flame when it comes to your legacy and what you've been handed. And it is essential that you fan it into flame. And that gift of God, the gift that we're talking about, is this. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Fan into flame the gift of God that is on you, the Holy Spirit of God. This is the core message of Jesus, by the way. That God is inviting you to give your life back to him. That Jesus has made a way back. And when you do, you don't just become a more religious person. You are born again. Those are Jesus's words. You are born again and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. It's like taking your first spiritual breath is the Spirit of God lives in you, and you become a new person with new life. This is the core message of Jesus. And Paul is saying the gift of God that is on you, the gift of God that is being offered to every single person in this room, even those who have never received it, is the Holy Spirit of God. and you need to fan it into flame. You know why? Here's why. Because the spirit that God gave us, it does not make us timid. Have you ever felt really timid when you face the things that are in your past? Me too. But the Spirit of God isn't like that. The Spirit of God does not make us timid. It gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's what the Spirit of God, that God will give you. That's the gift of God. And these words are pretty cool. This word power is the word dynamis, where we get dynamite from. It's like the dynamite power of God, you know? This word love is agape. This is the unconditional, undiscourageable, never-ending love of God for you and for me. And this word self-discipline is, let's see if I can spell this right, sophronismos. You basically sneeze and you say it, sophronismos. Or it's Italian, sophronismos, I don't know. That's how I hear it. This is self-discipline. This word is the idea of being anchored as a person, no matter how big the waves get. That you are unmoved because you have self-mastery. It's self-mastery. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what I want to ask you. This is what I was thinking about this week. What if God gave you the love, the power, and the self-discipline to step into and stand up to the things that you were handed? Like, what if? What if the dynamite power of God, the heart-healing, chain-breaking agape love of God, and the unmovable self-mastery of the Holy Spirit of God was the filter in your life between what you received and what you were gonna leave? What if that was the thing that filtered what you received and what you left, what was passed to you and what was passed through you, the power, love, and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit of God? What if that was your filter? What if that was the thing that stood guard? That's the gift of God. That's the first invitation, the first work of legacy. Paul says, you fan into flame. The gift of God on you, the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to invite you to do today. As we close, I want to invite you this week to do that. Not in an abstract way, not in a feeling, oh, it was a cool sermon, let's go on and do nothing with it. No, I want you to do something specific this week. I want to invite you together with me to invite God into your story. I would like to invite you to invite God into your story, to pop the lid on your story and invite the Holy Spirit of God into your life. Why? Because you're not responsible for what you were handed, but you and I are responsible for what we do with what we're handed. And now you know, in case you didn't, that what's passed to us has a tendency of being passed through us. So let's invite God in. Let's invite the Holy Spirit of God bit by bit into our story. Let's fan it into flame. And I'm going to give you an exercise for how I think you could do that this week. It's three steps. Wow. Was that me? No. Three steps. Number one, I would like you to take an inventory and invite you to take an inventory of your story. I'm giving you this card, this handout right here. This is meant to be an exercise for you to just ask the question, what have I been handed? What have I been handed? Divided it into two sides. One, what have I been handed that's from God? And take some time, make a list, think about it. Like maybe even pray about it. But list what you've been handed that's from God and what you've been handed that's not from God. You can use whatever words you want. It can be what I've been handed that's from God, from the enemy. What I've been handed that's good. What about handed that's bad? Healthy, unhealthy. Don't let the words get in the way. Whatever words work for you. Take an inventory of your story so far. Do it. It's an amazing exercise. And then, two steps. Number one, I want you to go over to this column right here and what you've been handed that's from God. And I want you to circle one, preferably the biggest one. It's probably also the most intimidating one. And this week, I want you to step into it. I want you to step into it. I want you to claim it. And not by yourself. I want you to say, Father, I see that this is a gift that's been handed down to me. Will you give me the love, power, and self-discipline to step into this? Will you give me the love, power? Will you give me what I need to step into this? What step do you want me to take? One step. What's one step you want me to take? What's one way you want me to step into this week? And for many of you, that first step might just be receiving it. You know, like Paul said, hey, that faith that lived in them, it lives in you, Timothy. And maybe that's just where you start. Like God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna receive the truth that what lived in them lives in me, or at least one day it could live in me. That's my invitation. Stand in the Holy Spirit and claim what's been handed down to you as a heritage from the Lord and step into it in one way through the power, love, and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit. So that's number two. But then, and this part might be even harder, I want you to come over to this column. What you've been handed is not from God, and I want you to circle one. Preferably the biggest one. It's probably the one that's scariest, probably the one that's most threatening. It's been around the longest, maybe. And this week, I want you to stand up to it. Maybe for the first time ever. I want you to break up with it. I want you to declare that it's done. It ends here. And not on your own. I want you to do it in the power and the love and the self-discipline of God's Spirit that lives in you. Like, let me give you some examples of things some of you are gonna find on this side. Some of you are gonna have lies on this side that need to be broken agreement with. You need to break agreement with them. There's gonna be some lies like you're not good enough, or you're never gonna change, or you're never gonna be free, or you're just gonna be the same as your parents and your dad. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're gonna say, that's a lie. And I'm standing in the power and love and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit to say, I don't agree with that anymore. And I am not gonna pass it on. Some of you are gonna find cycles over here, cycles of things that have happened generationally in your family. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're gonna say, this cycle is gonna end with me. It's not gonna continue. Some of you are gonna find sins over here, whose reign in your family or your cultural line, whatever it is that's been passed down to you, has gone on long enough, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're gonna say, no longer, here and no further. Some of you are gonna find stories that need to stop being told. You're gonna see grudges that need to stop being held. You're gonna see identities that need to be traded in, something new come from your Heavenly Father, and it can happen. It can happen. Lies can be overcome with the truth. Chains can be broken. What's old can be made new. What's lost can be found. What's hurt can be healed. What's dead can come back alive. And you can start that this week. You can start it this week. You're gonna need to continue it, probably in community, maybe with a mentor. We'd love to help you with that. Maybe with a counselor, we'd connect you with one of those. But you can start that this week. Step into and step out of. You know, this is what God's done in my life. You know, with my grandmother's faith. God, how in the world do I step into that? I'm not my grandmother. Okay, wait, hold on. Father, you want what lives in her to live in me. I know that. This is a gift. Give me the power, love, and self-discipline to step into it. What's one way you want me to step into it? I remember praying that years ago. God's saying, hey, I want you to ask me. And what he put on my mind was that she knew the word of God really well. And so I just started studying the Bible a lot. I mean, like a lot. And bit by bit, year by year, the faith that lived in her began growing in me. And now it's growing in my children. Oh, it's her legacy of faith. It's growing in my kids. And then simultaneously, man, one of the greatest things I've ever done, I promise you, one of the greatest things I've ever done is look in the mirror, honestly, and say, God, Father, would you heal the wound of self-hatred in me? I mean, it's an old wound, but for some reason, it's not fully gone. It's still there. I know it is. Will you heal this wound of self-hatred in me? Would you heal me so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can stand in the gap between my family and the voice of worthlessness and the voice of despair and the voice of self-hatred and say, you shall not pass. Lord of the Rings, you shall not pass. You're gonna go here, but you're not gonna go any further. I will not be your model, and I will not be your mouthpiece. To those running behind me, no way. In Jesus' name, it's gonna end. That's the work of legacy. That's the work of legacy. So let's start here. Let's start right here. What were you handed? So do an inventory of your life and then stand in the power, love, and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit to step into what's from God and stand up to what is not. Fan into flame the gift of God that is on you, the Holy Spirit of God. We're gonna have a time of response. We're gonna sing a song to end. The words of this song are in part strongholds bowing to a savior. And my invitation to you is to receive it. Maybe you need to sit there and believe it. It's true of me. Or maybe you need to rise up and claim it. Strongholds bowing to a savior. We're gonna have our pastors here, a prayer team down front. love to invite you. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you'd like to receive a prayer of the power of the Holy Spirit over your life to step into or to stand up to, come down front. I'd love to pray for you. Our team would love to pray for you.